Hello, and welcome to Barely Contained, the podcast that does for celebrity journalism what penis injections do for Winter Olympic ski jumpers. I'm Chris Beckett, and I'm joined, as ever, by Matt Withers. Matt, hello.
Hello there, Chris. Lovely topical reference to the Winter Olympics, which will have been over for a week by the time that people first listen to this.
But people won't forget that story, surely.
No, it does tend to stick in the mind, doesn't it?
Yeah, although it kind of got overshadowed by you know, Canadian double tapping in the curling, and oh, I've been really into it. How about you?
I barely seen any of it, Chris. I'll be honest, I'm glad that we don't have to hear about curling again for another 4 years.
Very much the yin and yang, why this podcast is so successful.
Yep.
Right. Without further ado, have we got some good stories this month?
Yeah, I think we have. I'm particularly pleased with the first story that I've got for you and the listeners this week. I feel like the whole of the past 9 years of Barely Contained have been building up to us finally talking about this TV show and this character.
Yeah, I mean, I would extend it beyond 9 years. I would extend it beyond, but probably the length of time we've known each other. This is very much labour of love territory, listeners.
Yep. This is a story that's from the online pages of the Daily Express, and it's got the headline, "People are cancelling popular 90s sitcom because main character is absolute scumbag."
Well, not before time.
So, I mean, there'll be people out there now speculating what character and what sitcom this might be. I'm not sure they'll pluck this one out of thin air.
Yeah, I mean, could it be maybe Friends? I mean, they've not aged well.
No, Friends obviously is, you know, to the younger viewers' minds these days, is slightly problematic, isn't it?
Yeah. What else was big in the 90s? Is that Seinfeld era? Or
Seinfeld would have been, well, it certainly would have started in the 90s. Yep. Obviously, the Chris Barry sitcom, A Prince Among Men, where he played, yeah, as everyone would remember, Gary Prince, an English footballer who is returning to England after playing in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, yeah. One foot in the grave.
Pork Pie, the Desmond spin-off.
Yeah, I can't imagine him being called an absolute scumbag.
No, he was a lovable rogue, Pork Pie. <Yeah. laughs> No, let's start off. The stand first is, the BBC One show aired for six series between 1993 and 1999, and now critics have slammed its main character, played by Nicholas Lyndhurst.
Ooh, that has narrowed it down.
Yep, is it the two of us? What else would he have been in?
Apart from the obvious, I mean, it was about 25 years too early for his role in the Frasier spin-off.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Of course, he was in the Frasier reboot, wasn't he? A somewhat surprising casting still, well, I'd say.
Yeah, well, even more so, thinking of his imminent cancellation. Yeah.
He clearly, the booking agents in the States were unaware of this particular show.
Well, I think, you know, you probably think if you're them, well, we've already got Kelsey Grammer. Can you get more controversial?
Yeah, well, yeah, quite. Some television fans have called for the cancellation of a hugely popular 90s sitcom after describing the show's main character as an absolute scumbag. Yeah. I mean, do people refer to themselves as television fans these days?
Yeah.
Well, have you got any hobbies? Yes, I'd call myself a television fan, really.
Not in the streaming age, Matt.
Nicholas Lyndhurst, best known as Rodney Trotter in Only Fools and Horses, played the lead role in the science fiction time travel comedy.
Yeah, how did it get greenlit again?
I mean, it's one of these shows, really, that, we're going to get to the title, but if you described it now, it wouldn't make any sense. If you were pitching it now, it wouldn't make any sense, would it?
No, absolutely not.
I wouldn't say it's the most extreme example of that. I think the most extreme is at some point in the 1980s, there was a meeting held at the BBC and they were questioning the writers. So let me get this straight. The sitcom is set in the French Resistance during the Second World War. And all the characters are French, but they're played by British people in French accents, apart from the British character, who's a police officer. But to demonstrate the fact that he doesn't speak French well, he speaks English badly. I mean, how did that get past the
I
first
mean,
meeting?
when you say it like that, it doesn't sound hilarious, but
No. But strangely, it worked.
yeah.
Okay, we're not here to talk about Hello, Hello. Goodnight, Sweetheart first aired on BBC One in 1993 and spanned six series before the story came to an end in 1999.
I mean, I can't. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could talk chapter and verse about the denouement of Goodnight, Sweetheart, but is it fair to say did it come to a natural end? Was it like a kind of Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad final season, or did it just get cancelled?
You know what? I can't remember. I can't remember if he ever got his comeuppance. Ooh, I remember a few years ago they did do a one-off episode where he found himself in the modern day. Do you recall that?
No.
Yeah,
The
so the
modern
BBC.
day, what is there, television fans?
Well, a few years ago, to mark the anniversary of Hancock's Half Hour, the BBC made one-off episodes of old sitcoms, and they did one where Gary Sparrow found himself in the modern day in a mobile phone shop, very, very confused because he didn't know what these things were.
What, and annoyed because he couldn't use it as a portal to have his end
No,
away.
it was no use to him for that. Lyndhurst played TV repairman Gary Sparrow, who in the present day is married to wife Yvonne. After being called out on a job, the character discovers a time portal at Duckett's Passage, an alleyway that transports him to London in the midst of World War II.
Is Duckett, I mean, it shows how little I know about this, but is Duckett's Passage an actual address, road address?
There is the actual passage that he goes down to is about a 10-minute walk from where I'm sat at present.
Oh.
Yeah, it's in East London. It's just by Columbia Road, if people know.
Now I understand your keenness on moving to Hackney.
I literally moved here. So I mean, I've walked down there many times, Chris. I've never ended up in London in the midst of World War II. I'm not sure if it's actually called that, but yeah, that passage is real.
Unlike the job of the TV repairman these days.
No, that's a job that must have died a death.
Yeah.
There, he meets barmaid Phoebe Banford at the Royal Oak pub, and the pair begin a relationship. Gary then lives a double life, spending time with both partners as he travels back and forth via the alleyway. The Royal Oak pub's real as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look anything like it did during London in the Second World War.
Am I right that Goodnight Sweetheart was another one of those sitcoms, or TV shows in general, where they switched actresses, I think, in this case?
Yes, they did. So the barmaid was originally played by, and I think I'll get the name right here, Dervla Kerwin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so quite, yes, big name, certainly
Well,
back then.
she became a big name as part of being in Goodnight Sweetheart and didn't want to be in Goodnight Sweetheart anymore.
A springboard to Ballykiss Angel.
Yeah, that was it. She vanished off to Ballykiss Angel and they replaced her in a way that isn't that common over here. It's something that you associate with sort of Australian soap operas where somebody looks completely and utterly different, suddenly becoming a completely different person and no one remarking on it.
It's kind of gaslighting the audience.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine it happening now. I couldn't imagine one of these big HBO dramas suddenly replacing an actor and not mentioning it. Now, a quarter of a century on, his actions have sparked a debate on social media. In a clip from gaming and comedy show Consolevania posted on X, one of the hosts said, "The show portrays him and his friends as scumbags who encourage infidelity and financial exploitation."
Wow. Where's your sense of humor, lads?
I mean, I don't know about the financial exploitation. Well, actually, I suppose he gives up TV repairing to set up a shop, doesn't he? Selling World War II memorabilia, which he has stolen, much like the British Museum from back in the day.
I would have just done the, Back to the Future 2 route, just gone back and placed a selection of elaborate bets.
Yeah, get himself a sports almanac. He continues, he's cheating on his wife. It's like if you have a bit on the side, it's showing that maybe you can get away with it.
Well, if it's in another time zone.
Well, this is it. The suggestion seems to be that it's saying to people that you can get away with having an affair on the off chance that you find an alleyway that can take you back several decades in time.
Yeah.
And for most people, that's not going to happen.
It's a modern day morality tale, though.
The clip continues, showing a scene in which Gary's best pal, Ron Wheatcroft, declares, "Gary, you've been granted every man's wish, an untraceable bit on the side."
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, it doesn't stack up very well in my contemporary standards.
No, I don't think we use the phrase a bit on the side in sort of family sitcoms these days. And of course, Ron Wheatcroft is being punished because now the man who plays him is in a series of eBay adverts in which he doesn't get a speaking role. The Consolevania host continues, "So he leaves his wife, he goes into the past, and he tries to shag this other woman. He is an absolute piece of shit." Writing in response, one ex-user concurred, slamming Gary, "Finally, someone in the media talking about this. Me and my pals hate Gary Sparrow."
Good to see Elon Musk weighing in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
Rupert Lowe will crack down on this.
it... Yeah. When Rupert Lowe's in power, he's going to shut down any time portals in alleyways. He's going to take the entire country back to the period of the Second World
Yeah.
War, but not via an alleyway-based portal. A second person admitted, "I actually love the show, but I can't disagree with any part of their analysis."
Oh, what an insightful comment.
A third confessed, "Never understood why he didn't just leave his present-day wife because he clearly liked the 1940s one more, but watched a lot of these recently, and he's an absolute wanker." Oh. And a fourth pointed out, "He is, your analysis is correct, but the detail barely scratches the surface of how bad he is."
God, is he going to end up in the Epstein files?
Yeah. Others defended Gary somewhat, however, including, that's a strangely worded sentence, including one ex-user who wrote, "Argued that it's Victor Maguire's character's Ron's spin on the situation, that the extramarital affair wasn't the initial intention, and Sparrow's own marriage was one in which he felt marginalised. Something they hinted at in The Simpsons. Both would be happier if they weren't married."
It's a bit overly deep, isn't it?
Is that a bit overly deep? I don't. In The Simpsons, did they hint that Gary Sparrow's marriage would be better if both of them weren't married?
I mean, there should have been a crossover, really, shouldn't there?
It would have been the natural one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We'll have a look at the comments and say, shall I just have a quick look and see how Goodnight Sweetheart ended?
Oh, yeah, I want to find that out.
Was there a denouement? Or did it just peter out and get cancelled? Goodnight
I mean, if.
Sweetheart eventually concludes in 1945 during VE Day. In 1999, Yvonne becomes suspicious of Gary's frequent absences and follows him to the shop where she witnesses his disappearance through the time portal. Gary later becomes trapped in the past after the portal closes after he saves Clement Attlee from an assassination attempt by poisoning.
Wow.
He later deduces that it was his destiny to travel back in time with the purpose of saving Attlee's life, and the portal closed because he fulfilled this purpose. Gary is resigned to being forced to stay with Phoebe and their son, though he writes a message behind a strip of wallpaper at his Mayfair flat, knowing that Ron is redecorating it in 1999. Gary's writing appears before Ron and Yvonne, advising him to tell Yvonne everything. The final episode of the original series cuts to Yvonne standing at the gates of Blitz and Pieces, wondering whether or not they would meet again before being joined by Ron. In 1945, Gary is standing in Duckett's Passage, wondering the same, before being joined by Phoebe and Michael. They don't remember any of that.
Oh, you know what? I have the opposite. The bit about the wallpaper actually rings a bell.
Does it? Like,
yeah. Yeah. But I wasn't sure if, yeah, if they ever had like, you know, like footage of like a, you know, 95-year-old Nicholas Lyndhurst sort of having lived through and not come back through the portal.
And in the one-off 2016 special, Gary's still married to Phoebe as they lived through the 1960s, but he's thrown to the future in the 2010s, arriving in the men's toilets of a trendy burger joint in East London where his former shop was. Yeah, I think they should have just left it as it was.
Yeah. There he meets someone from Love Island.
Yeah, should we have a quick look at the comments?
Yeah, definitely. Did you see this one, actually? There's actually like a, not just the standard comments at the bottom of the story. There's a, I don't know if this is a thing that the Express now do for particularly popular stories. There's most popular comments section.
Yeah, the most liked comment says, "Calm down, people, it's not real."
But there is a picture of Nicholas Lyndhurst in that picture.
Yeah.
In that, with that comment, which makes me think maybe it's, you know, maybe he's just weighed in.
I think that Lyndhurst has got a Google alert set on Goodnight Sweetheart and gets an email whenever it's being written about.
He's like one of those disgruntled broadsheet columnists who get criticised and then they set up an account. It's like the burner account to like take umbrage with people in the comments section.
Bill Wiz in the comments says, "I'd like to see all the old Alf Garnett shows run again. Also, replace Strictly with a good old family favourite, The Minstrels. Nothing wrong with it then, back in the day. Nothing wrong with it today either. Society has become pathetic regarding can't say that, mustn't show that."
Wow, great.
And Norfolk Boy says, "What a load of tosh. It was, is a brilliant sitcom and Nicholas played his part so well. I rewatched the series during the COVID lockdown and now, on a health lockdown of my own, I shall watch it again." I'm intrigued as to that lockdown.
Yeah. Basically, just when you think things are going bad, time to put on Goodnight, Sweetheart.
Oh, lovely stuff. Well, I'm glad that we finally got to talk about Goodnight, Sweetheart.
Oh, me too. Me too. I think it's just been, it's been building up.
Yep. Yeah, we can finish it now. We've completed it fairly contained. Now, Chris, it's been at least a month or two since we talked about our old favourite, Mr. Brooklyn Beckham.
Oh, yeah. So this one is from the Daily Star. It's Brooklyn Beckham to become the new Prince Harry, but with a twist, says psychic.
Oh, dear.
All the great hallmarks of a fantastic story. The psychic, the twist. And it is an exclusive. Right. Brooklyn Beckham is said to be ready for his own Prince Harry moment, creating independence from the Beckhams and building his own family, says psychic.
Okay, go on. Let's see who this snake oil salesperson is.
Yep. Brooklyn Beckham may be planning his own Prince Harry moment, according to celebrity psychic undisclosed, who reveals why the eldest Beckham son is ready to step out of the family spotlight and build a life on his own terms.
Oh, I mean, we sort of know because he did tell us all over the space of 5 full Instagram posts.
Yeah.
he went into a lot of detail.
He didn't hold back, did he? Tracy Walterton, who has worked with the big names such as Katie Price before. We may have featured her before then. Sees Brooklyn distancing himself to create his own identity away from public scrutiny and family expectations. I sense he's coming away from the family because they're too busy and money orientated. He wants his own freedom, she told Daily Star.
Yep, and she knows that because he posted 5 Instagram posts in which he said, I'm coming away from the family because they're too money orientated. I want my own freedom.
Exactly. Also, psychic work at its best.
The big names, such as Katie Price.
Such as Katie Price. Is she the... Oh, I can't remember. I wonder if she was the psychic that was not only good friends with Katie Price. Didn't she co-star in like a series with her or something?
Oh,
you remember that?
Was it a series or a film?
Yeah.
I seem to recall she was doing some sort of East End gangster type film.
She may have been a gangster's mole, yeah. The psychic draws parallels to Prince Harry, who famously broke away from the royal family to forge his own path with Meghan Markle. He wants his own world, his own projects, his own life, his own family. He doesn't want to be caught up in the family brand, Tracy said. I look forward to him changing his name away from Beckham.
Yeah.
Brooklyn is also predicted to start his own family with his wife, Nicola Peltz, in the near future. Tracy can vision one boy and one girl, echoing the sense of independence Harry and Meghan created with their 2 children, Archie and Lilbet.
Right. So she thinks that Harry and Meghan have been given more of a sense of independence with their 2 children. I mean, I'm not a father, Chris, but have you found that having a young child has made you more independent?
I'd have to say no.
Because you didn't spend that much time at the Soft Play Centre before, did you?
Well, you know, I think it would be worrying if I did. But I mean, again, great psychic insights to be able to predict that 2 people in there, I would imagine, mid to late 20s are envisaging having a fam, might be envisaging having a family.
Yep. Statistically speaking, she's probably on safe ground.
Yeah. What next? But will he shut out the Beckhams for good? I don't think he'll shut them out forever. There's still a little bit of love in his heart for his parents, she added. Mum Victoria Beckham is described by Tracy as the backbone of the family, but she says Brooklyn is ready to step out of her shadow and make his own mark. She keeps everyone going. She's very possessive, but with good intentions. He doesn't want to be that controlled, Tracy explained.
Yep. Such insight here.
I know, goodness. The psychic stresses that this isn't a rebellion, but a need for autonomy, much like Harry's decision to leave royal life behind. If he wants to be a chef, have his own little restaurant or bar, let him do it. Let him live his life without being in the limelight of just them, she said.
That sounds like she should be patting him on the head. Yeah. She says, if you want to have your own little restaurant or bar, you can.
Have your hot sauce.
Yeah. Little chili sauce.
Tracy also notes that Brooklyn will likely maintain a connection eventually with his family, but only on his own terms. He's got his own things going on where he can be successful. He doesn't need to be amongst all this for now, she said. Oh, well, I mean, as soon as it began, the story is over.
Yeah, that was a brief one. Although I do notice that that Tracy offers street readings.
Well, yes.
If anyone's interested.
Yeah. Tracy is currently filming her own Supernatural TV series and often offers street readings, which can be found on her social media channels such as Instagram and TikTok. For bookings and more, please visit Tracy's website.
I wonder if that means she does readings of streets. Like she could look at one street and go, if you go down this one, there's a very real chance that you might end up in London during the Second World War.
Are you heading towards Duckett's Passage, metaphorically or literally? Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I was sort of thinking about it like almost like a kind of more impromptu form of being a psychic, doing a street reading, just rocking up without any of the paraphernalia and just, getting down to brass tacks.
Yep, I suspect she'd probably rather read all your Instagram posts beforehand then
Well,
and just repeat them verbatim.
it would help. Maybe she asks to borrow your phone for about a minute. Just look away a second.
Any comments on that story?
Well, there is but one. This is from Susan, and it's Harry then realized he's nothing without the RF name and is itching to get back in. BB, take note. Well,
Harsh from Susan there.
yeah, well, maybe I'm, maybe Harry's quite happy out of it at the moment. Who
Yep.
knows?
I suspect he's not looking on from the States at the moment and thinking, I fancy a bit of that action.
Yeah, exactly. Right, Matt, what have you got to play us out with today?
I have got a story from the Daily Mail online, and it's headlined, Danny Dyer horrifies fans as she reveals her mother Joanne gives her husband Jared Bowen foot massages. This is Danny Dyer, Danii, so the daughter of the Dyer double act.
Yeah, don't mind yourself.
Yeah, I believe they have a podcast together. Get off our turf. Danny Dyer has horrified fans as she revealed her mother Joanne gives her husband Jared Bowen foot messages, it says,
Foot
actually.
messages.
I assume that's an error. I don't really know what a foot message might entail.
Yeah, I mean, I think there would be less, well, there would be more confusion and less uproar.
Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult to get your message across by just using the feet. The TV personality and West Ham captain, both 29, tied the knot in an intimate ceremony surrounded by their closest friends and family last May. While promoting her and Dad Danny's TV show, The Dyer's Caravan Park, the pair were quizzed about each other's loves and hates in a TikTok video. Have you been enjoying The Dyer's Caravan Park?
I saw the trailer for it, but I have not managed to get around to watching it.
Oh, I don't know anything about this. Do you know what the premise is?
Well, it's where Danny Dyer talks about his love of the Great British Caravan Park.
Does
Yeah,
he?
just like that.
I can imagine you're very passionate about the Great British Caravan Park.
Yep.
The host from 4-9 asked Danny, your wife Jo loves to give an act of self-care to Danny's husband Jared. What is that thing? Oh, I know, Danny replied before Danny interjected. This is confusing, isn't it? Oh, I know, young Danny replied before Dad Danny interjected. This is weird, by the way, because if I was doing the same thing, it would be strange, young Danny replied. The father and daughter duo then turned around their boards to reveal they had both written massage feet. Yeah, it's bollocks, Dad Danny said. It's an intimate thing, I think, trotters.
It's a bit less intimate if you call them trotters.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another Nicholas Lyndhurst reference there, isn't
Oh,
it? The
yeah.
old trotters. Everything links to each other in the end.
Yeah, great callback.
That's why I earn the big comedic books. Young Danny explained, she says when he scores a goal, it's because she massaged his feet.
Okay.
Seems needs to be doing a bit more of that this season, eh, West Ham fans, am I right?
Ooh.
Footy bants there,
Yeah.
Chris.
Join us, the Irons. Come on.
Horrified fans took to the comments section to weigh in on the admission. They penned, that is actually really weird.
What, penning it?
I must write my message to this on by the use of a pen and post it to them.
Chaucer said.
Sorry, but that's weird coming from the mother-in-law too. Bit weird, this BTW. I think basically people agree that it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, what? I mean, we should probably come off the fence. What's your take on it, Matt?
I would suggest that if Jared does require a massage, that as a Premier League club, West Ham United probably employ people to do that sort of thing.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Nuno Espirito Santo is saying, come on, Jared, it's time to go and join the rest of the lads in the massage room. And he says, no, it's all right. My mother-in-law does that.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's quite nice as well. It's quite sweet that he's obviously, a big part of the family, and there's no boundaries between them.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
There should be.
Maybe there should be, game of Uno, fine. Foot massage, stepped over the line there.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
It comes after Danny and Jared look more loved up than ever as they enjoyed a romantic Valentine's weekend at Estelle Manor in Oxfordshire.
Oh, lovely.
The reality star and the footballer enjoyed a child-free weekend at the luxury country house and private members club, where rooms start from £1,400 per night.
Oof.
Wow.
Blimey.
We're getting into the padding now, aren't we?
Yeah.
The couple who tied the knot last year, we've done that bit. We know they tied the knot last year. Come on.
I mean, if I was staying in somewhere that charged £1,400 per night minimum, I would definitely be looking for ways I could save money on massages.
Yeah, that's it. You know, yeah, if you're gonna go for the top of the range accommodation, you're gonna have to get your mother-in-law to do your foot massages. The couple, who tied the knot last year, spent quality time together on rainy walks around the estate before sipping on cocktails in the evening.
Feels like, as previously mentioned, there's obviously been a lot of trawling of Instagram.
Yeah. Danny looked incredible in a stylish black mini dress, which she paired with tights and a pair of burgundy stilettos as she headed for dinner.
Oh, burgundy stilettos. Good old West Ham.
Yep. The Love Island winner and the West Ham winger cozied up and held hands as they posed for photos together. Danny simply penned, Valentine, that fucking pen again.
Oh, she's like Hemingway. Just don't need to say any more. Yeah. Valentine's. Bosh.
She's always got the trusty Bic on hand.
Yeah.
The couple are proud parents to 2-year-old twins Summer and Star, and Danny is also mum to 4-year-old son Santiago, who she shares with her ex-partner Sammy Kimmins. It comes after the mother of three said she struggled with her confidence after a body change following motherhood. And then we get into just a little section that it feels a bit weird for two middle-aged men to be talking about.
Also, it name checks another podcast, so you know we have to think of our
we have to protect our our brand, and then
it mentions another podcast.
Then it mentions another podcast, and then it sort of goes into some slightly dark terrain. We'll probably leave it with the foot massage. I don't know if there's any comments on here.
I can see there's 46 comments.
46?
I'm having, you know.
Are they all saying weird?
Well, Tony T.C. Clark says, anyone going to guess what the next headline is going to be? I don't know what that means. More importantly, and this is Van Noyes from L.A., why are you doing commenting on this from L.A.? Anyway, more importantly and far more interestingly, the capital of Cuba is Havana. A reference to Santiago, but I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah, I mean, he is correct.
Yeah.
but it does seem largely irrelevant to the story in hand.
And then Carlos from Essex says, she needs to massage them better as he hasn't scored for a while, which is, what you said.
Yeah, done that bants. Yeah, we did some good football bants there, Chris. I think we probably should get an online betting advert deal.
Oh, I hope so, yeah.
Well, that has come to an unexpectedly rapid end.
Yes.
But I think it's been a good episode, because any episode would talk of Goodnight, Sweetheart. is the best episode.
I think so. I mean, we haven't finished the. I'm saying I'm giving it a royal we, but you haven't finished the great post-production work on this podcast yet. But I would be somewhat disappointed if I didn't hear a nice little bit of Goodnight Sweetheart theme tune to play us out.
Yep, I suspect this may be one of those episodes which, after it goes live, I get one of those emails from YouTube telling me that this episode can't be broadcast in Russia and Belarus due to copyright issues.
Wow.
We're really losing those Russian and Belarusian listeners.
I know, they've got a lot of time on their hands. Right, okay, well, let's round this up. So, Matt, let's change it. I mean, normally I would talk about this, but where can people engage with Barely Contain the podcast?
Well, you can find us on any of the social channels. If you look up Barely Contain the Podcast on Facebook, or you can find us on Blue Sky if you're over there. And still, unaccountably, we are on X, if you still are in that particular sewer.
Holding
And you can,
court.
yeah. And you can find the podcast. Well, you know this, you're listening to it, but wherever you're on it, if you're listening to it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Amazon, then please do subscribe and give us a review. It really does help with the old algorithms and getting us into more people's ears. That would be very kind. And also, if you could just broadly spread the message in a more organic manner. Of course, we are also on YouTube, admittedly audio only. Nobody needs to see this, but you can subscribe to us and share on YouTube, and we would be very grateful for you to do so.
Yep, absolutely.
Chris, do you have anything more to add?
No, not really. I mean, enjoy March, everyone, and we'll catch you again in April.
You will catch us in April. I'm now off to Ducat's Passage.
Nice.
Will I ever see you again? I don't know.
If you do disappear, I will carry on this podcast for at least two episodes.
That's, yeah, I would expect nothing less. Right, well, just leaves us to say thank you very much, Chris Beckett.
Thank you very much, Matt.
And thank you, the listener.
Cheers. Good night,
Goodbye.
all.
Why is it everywhere you want to find in the A to Z is always in a crease?
Meet Gary. He's just an ordinary bloke who finds himself back in 1940.
Find a bus, then. And how much will that be, pray? Sixpence, halfpenny?
It's tuppence farthing.
Come on, seriously, how much?
I told you, it's tuppence farthing.
Oh, what a brilliant tree. My God, it's real.
Real or not, Nicholas Linter stars in Goodnight, Sweetheart, Thursday at 8:30 on BBC One.